Okay.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
One thing that's kind of nice that we can put along with this little psalm, it starts off with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then there's a verse we have, I believe it's in Exodus, and it says, "A shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians." For those of us who are the Lord's, we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And for those that do not know the Lord, they believe he's an abomination. They don't love him whatsoever. Just as we read through this little psalm, it's just something to think about. There are two different sides. There are those that love the Lord, and there are those that hate the Lord.
I'll see there that if we know the Lord as our shepherd, we truly follow him. And the second part is, "I shall not want." And if you continue, it's the Lord who we look to, it's the Lord who guides us. And so, you know, in this world, we're looking at everyone in this world wants an awful lot. And now we can set those things, these needs and wants are not going to be the same. We certainly have needs, and for our needs, we can go to the Lord for that. And you know, he provides for everything in nature. There are chosen scriptures that he provides for, you know, the lilies of the fields and the birds and so on. And I forget where that scripture is, maybe you remember where that is, but he certainly can, those whom he loves, whom he has saved, he likes to provide for us. So it's, I think it's good to look at the Lord and have him see what he has in mind for us rather than what we want from him. Remember in the gospel there has that verse.
Yeah, Matthew 6. Okay, there's God here. Matthew 6, verse 28. "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not more clothe you, O ye of little faith?"
That's the, one of the portions you were thinking of, wasn't it?
Yes, right there.
Yeah, the Lord takes care of all nature. He takes care of everything. Yet we know from Scripture that he has been thinking about us from the foundation of the world, those of us that are the elect. His, how much will he take care of us? It's like you say, it's not that we won't want the things of the world or things that we don't have. It's just he's going to change us to have our wants to be more in line with his thoughts. It's not that we get everything. We just, he takes away our want to have certain things.
Psalm 78, verse 72 says, "So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." That's kind of a good description of what we have here. I think that particular verse is referring to God guiding the Israelites. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that one, but I think that's what that's referring to. And you see the two sections here in this verse. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and then the second part, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. I think we see that in verse 2 here of Psalm 23. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leadeth me beside the still waters. So the first verse would be kind of, I would imagine, probably feeding the natural needs. And then the second verse would be more towards the spiritual. If we see the still waters, I would imagine that would probably be a type of scripture. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Philippians 4:19 reads, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus."
And then something to go along with that, I'm going to read a verse in Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 7 says, this is the bride's, or the soon-to-be bride, speaking to her love, and it says, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" And his response is, "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent." Basically, when he leads us into this, the truth that we get in this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." If we go into this situation where we do find where the Lord would have us to be, we will find that we'll be there with others that have been seeking the Lord as well. He will have his flock, not individual sheep going, but he will have us as a group. He will have us to be in fellowship one with another, and he'll lead us to these still waters. We can come together on a simple day like this, a few of us having this word open, and we know he's going to feed us. It's not that we have to be intelligent, we just have the word of God. We know he's going to feed us. He's promised it to be so.
Verse 3, we see the restoration at the beginning there. He restoreth my soul. I guess we would think of that as him bringing us back. Perhaps that would involve a little bit of chastisement. It's hard to say. Maybe someone else could expand a little more on that. I did notice at the end here, he said, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." And then the last four words here are very important: "for his name's sake." All this, everything that he does with us, is all to glorify himself. That is the end result. And it's kind of neat if we can keep that in mind. It gives us a little different perspective, doesn't it?
I think that right from the beginning, we consider that he has completed work on the cross. It is finished. Just even in the thought that, in eternity past, the Lord knew that he was going to save us, and we were his enemies, and he reaches out and he saves us. And even when we go astray, all we like sheep have gone astray, so we certainly were astray when we were in our sins. He reaches out for us, and he saves us. Now, what happens? We're like one of his sheep, and we can still wander away from the Lord. We can turn our back on him, on the light that's on him, on the light that's on us, but we can't get away from it. And it's, again, you can see someone getting away from the Lord, and we can pray for them, and it's he restores my soul. It's, man in his own ways finds himself really totally at a loss. He can't do anything in independence from the Lord himself. So it's resting upon him. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. We can feed ourselves in these wonderful places and the Lord has given in his word, and he can lead us as well. This world is just full of turmoil. It's like raging waters all over the place, but yet there's peace and quietness that the Lord does give us. And so if we find ourselves there, we can be in that total enjoyment. But even when we do wander away, and he's the one that can restore us, and he's really the only one that can restore us to himself, and he's the one that wants to lead us in the path that he has for us, because he's given it to us in his word.
Yeah, you take verse 4 with what Steve was saying. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod," which is his forms of correction, "and thy staff," which is what a shepherd would use to direct his sheep, just keep them on the path, "they comfort me." So even his correction and that which he has to do to keep us on the path, if we have lived in what the first two verses say, if we realize that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and that I'm living in those green pastures, and I know that he's led me to still waters, and I open up his word, then if he does direct my path, he moves things in a certain way to show me that I'm possibly going the wrong way, and he slightly chastens, or he has to just redirect me onto the right path, that I stay with my brethren, and that I end up being able to be at the Lord's day and remember him, I will enjoy those things. Because if he completely left me alone to go my own way, I would be completely lost. It was the Lord who decided to pick me up and save me. It wasn't of myself. And then when I realize that it's the Lord that keeps me and keeps me on the path, I love the one that does the chastening, the one that keeps me on the path. But we have to be living in the truth that he is my shepherd. I will not want. He's never going to give us, there's a hymn that says he will never have us shed a needless tear. There's nothing that will ever come to us that he didn't know full well the reason for and that we could handle it. Nothing. And there's a verse Heather has here. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." It's only if we're living in that place of sonship, if we have come into the family of God, that he does these things. So by his chastening, we realize it's because we're in the family of God. He doesn't do this to the world. It's those he loves that he deals with.
What's the reference of that verse, Dave?
Hebrews 12 and 6. And then verse 6, to finish it off, says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Doesn't mean that tough times won't come. Things will happen. Trials will exist in our lives. But even in a trial, we can in our heads, we can say that this is goodness and mercy to us, that he has allowed this to happen.
John 10, verse 27, says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And 29, "It's my Father which giveth me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So, the end result we can see in our past that sometimes we might wonder, but we belong to the Lord. The end result will be that we're going to be with him, and no one's able to take that away. we do have an opportunity in our lifetime here to listen to the Lord and to have those moments of peace and be fed. And even though it says in verse 4, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Lord is with us. And just think of in verse 5, even here this morning, we're few in company. But, you know, the Lord has asked us to remember Him. When He says, for two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So we have this wonderful opportunity. Though weak and feeble, we can be in the Lord's presence here this morning, also to remember Him and His death for us.
Yeah, it's nice to think those verses you read in John, no matter whatever happens, no man can ever take this from us. That which the Lord has given to us can never, ever be taken away. We can maybe lose the enjoyment of it for a time, but it's never taken away. There's nothing that we can't pray about that it can't be restored to us. David, when he was having a tough time, he prayed to the Lord and he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He'd lost the sense of it, but he just prayed that the Lord would make it good to him again and that he would remember how good it was. And he did.
And in those verses 28 and 29, we see double security, right? Because it says there, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In the end of verse 29, it says, and no one or no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So it's out of the Lord's hand and out of the Father's hand. It gives us that double security.
Let's just close in prayer. Our God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, we just thank Thee now for a little bit of time over Thy Word and this little psalm. We just thank Thee, Lord Jesus Christ, that we can read these verses and that we can say, Thou art our shepherd. And we just ask Thee to help to lead and direct us through Thy path that Thou would have for us. And we just ask now also for the remembrance meeting that will be before us very soon, if Thou should tarry, Lord Jesus Christ. And yet as we go through this little psalm, we just ask, Lord Jesus Christ, that each and every one in this room, having reached the age of responsibility, would know that the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross for them. And that realizing this, they might know Thee, Lord Jesus Christ, as Savior. And that each and every one of us might rest in the truth that we've had, that none can pluck us out of Thy hand, and none can pluck us out of the Father's hand. We just thank Thee for the truth that our salvation is completely secure with Thee, that we never have to worry once we trust in Thee. So we just thank Thee for this, Lord Jesus Christ, in Thy worthy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.